This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Om Sai Ram to our listeners. I am Gulab Pillimoria of Sri Sitasai International Organisation of New Zealand, and I offer my most loving and humble pranams at the lotus feet of our beloved Bhagawan, Sri Sitasai Baba. So welcome to this 1131 Sai News program, and today we'll be hearing from Jenny Monson of Australia. Jenny, a devoted member of the organization since 1986, the year she first came to Swami. She currently serves as a central coordinator for Zone 3 and has previously held several leadership roles, including national president of Australia. Now retired, Jenny worked professionally as a counselor and continues her service through her involvement in the end-of-life care, serving on the board of community hospices. In this episode, Jenny shares heartfelt insights on cultivating the right mindset and on carrying the inspiration forward, integrating its lessons into our daily lives and service once we return home. So let's hear from Jenny.
So Jenny, my first question to you is, how did Swami reach you in such a little rural community that you were a part of? And how has Swami impacted your life and connected with you despite being so far away from you physically?
Well, thank you, Kirtan. And I just want to say what a blessing it is for me to be here with you today. So thank you for that beautiful introduction. And they're very big questions you've asked me. So I'll put my whole heart and soul into it. Now, when I was 38, I was going through a time of real spiritual searching, and it followed the death of my mother. Now, I started reading different books, and I suddenly became aware through that reading that divinity was everywhere and divinity was inside me. So then I had absolute craving. I wanted to experience the divinity within me. So then from what I read, it seemed that the way to do that is through meditation. So I found a person who I went to ask for help in how to meditate. And he said to me, Jenny, I think you should go and see Mrs. Mitchell. And I said, oh, who's she? And he said, well, she is a psychic lady who lives in the next town. And I said, oh, well, I've never spoken to a psychic before. Anyway, off I went. Now, this elderly lady told me that there was a guide called Sai looking over me. And at the end of this session, I said to her, you mentioned a guide. Who was that? She said, I don't know. That's just what came through me for you. So I went back to the person who suggested I go to her. And I said, she told me about a guide called Sai. And he said, oh, well, that would be Sai Baba. And I said, but who's that? And he said, well, he's a holy man in India. So the next day, I hopped in my car. And I drove up to Perth, which at that time was 4 hours away. I found two books, The Holy Man and the Psychiatrist and Man of Miracles. And by the time I'd read them, I was convinced that God was on earth and that I had found divinity. So I'd never heard of him before. I'd never met a Sai devotee. And there I was living in my little rural place, and that's how Swami came to me. But I believe it was my intense yearning that attracted us together. In other words, I became obsessed with this notion of experiencing the divinity within. And within a few months, he actually gave me that experience in a dream of him. So he answered my wish. And in 1986, this was, and I joined a bhajan group, which was a couple of hours away from my town, drove over there every Sunday and then every Thursday for study circle. And that's when my time with Swami and his organization began. So that was 1986.
Wow, that's a beautiful story. And could you tell us a little bit about the dream that you had?
Well, it was interesting because I'd been reading his teachings for a few months, and I had a couple of questions. And so he came to me in the dream, into my hands, And when he took my hands, all this amazing feeling of love and ecstasy flowed from him into me. So he filled me up with his presence, and I'll never forget that. It's almost too hard to put into words, but that was my experience of the divinity within me. Then he went on and said, you have questions, and he allowed me to ask my questions. But that was my experience at that time.
Now, Jenny, I did want to ask you, I heard you're from a small community called Yalingup, which has an interesting meaning behind the name. Could you care to share a little bit more about that as well?
Well, Kirtana, the Yalingup means place of love in the Aboriginal language. So I feel very blessed to live in Yalingup. And it's a coastal place, very popular with surf, so that's Yalingup.
And it's 3 hours from Perth, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, it is, 3 hours. So when I go to my site, center, it's a 3-hour drive. I usually go up overnight, come back the next day.
My second question is, when you're in Australia, so in such a small community, and you found Swami like that, did you feel like sharing Swami with other people? Did you feel like you had something that was like so precious to yourself? Or how did that change your relationship with, I feel like most of the people around you probably didn't know Swami, right? So how did that like change your interactions with them? Or did you feel any changes within you?
So the main changes for me were in practicing his teachings, I could feel myself changing. And that was the important thing. I didn't people knew that I had this person, this sort of spiritual master, and they saw his photo in my home and things, and they say, who's that? And I would say, but it was always, there was always reservation when people heard. So that was just the way it was. So my first, the times when I went over to our Bhajan group were very precious to me, because I was then with people, you know, who understood, and you know, we were all, I guess, in the same spot. We were in Swami's fold, weren't we? But that was, in fact, when I first became aware of the opportunity to go to national conferences, that was an amazing thing for me. So this was we drove 4,000 kilometres across Australia to go to my first national conference, and it was the most amazing thing. I met these wonderful, they were Mahatmas. These were incredibly uplifting souls who came and shared their wisdom with us. So, for example, at that first conference I remember, it was the folk from the Sai school in Thailand, and it was just absolutely wonderful to hear them speak. And then there was dear Arthur and Poppy Hillcote from Australia. These were just wonderful divine beings. So I came away totally inspired by meeting these great people. So that was my first experience, and that was a national conference. And then from then on, I went to almost every national conference I could get, you know, that they had. And I also went to little retreats that were held out of our area, because it meant so much to me to have that connection with other Sai people and to have that opportunity to absorb the teachings, but also those beautiful feelings you get through being with other spiritual people. That meant everything to me. So I put myself right out there to get to everything I...
That's such a beautiful story. How did you get into these leadership roles at Center that allowed you to attend these world conferences and just be a speaker and be involved in so many Ladies' Day programs? So how did you reach that level and feel that motivated to do it despite the reservations from, like, even family members?
I guess, I started off in a little Bhajan group, and at the time, and I'd only been in the group a couple of years, and our group was going through all sorts of difficulties. And Arthur Hillcote, who was the central coordinator, came and visited us, and he basically said, all right, Jenny, well, you are now going to be the group chairperson. So I said, oh, okay. So I started off under that instruction, if you like, and then that was, I guess I've been an office bearer ever since then. So I then was involved in regional activities. I became young adult advisor, they were called back then. And that was a group up in Perth. And I had the most beautiful, amazing experiences with the young adult. We had a little pilgrimage. We went to see Swami in 2005. It was called Perth to Party Experience Pilgrimage. And so basically I just got more and more involved in the organisation, you know, different elements of the organisation. So centre president in Perth, then regional president, and then I was public outreach coordinator. And then it was, I was then invited to be the national president. So basically, I guess, I just feel that I want to serve Swami and his devotees. And it gives me a great deal of joy to be able to serve the devotees of Swami. So that's become my life. And that's sort of, yeah, what's important.
So now I'm curious, how do you feel like your experience being a leader in the Sai Center organization versus being a regular devotee? What kind of bigger personal takeaways have you experienced through your role as a leader that you feel like maybe the regular devotees you wouldn't have had if you were just saying no to any leadership opportunity?
Well, it's interesting because I think when we're given an opportunity, it comes from Swami and not from the person who, you know, asks us. But look, the biggest learning for me, what I realized, for example, when I became center president, it was, I had to expand myself because it was no longer just about me or my devotion or my sadhana, or me and my family. I had to think of all of the centre members and their well-being. And then when I became region president, it was all about all the members in the region and what was important for them. So by taking on this position, it actually helps us overcome our small, little-minded self, you know, that egotistical side of ourselves, and it becomes extremely expansive. That was my experience.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Jenny. That was such a beautiful story. Could you tell us more about if you've had any like in-person experiences with Swami or anything like after you got into the leadership role of Swami kind of guiding you, kind of showing you that, yes, I'm here for you, the little signs or little miracles everyone has. If you have any of those, we would love to hear them.
Well, look, my personal experience with Swami when he was in his form, I went on two different occasions to, you know, to see, and I had the wonderful experience of touching his feet the first time I went
wow.
in, we were in Darshan, and it was quite remarkable. When I touched his feet, I felt this incredible kind of like an electric shock come up through me, and it jumped. Started my heart, and it ached for days afterwards. And that was my first experience of actually physically touching him. And then on another occasion when I went to Puddha Party, I had the privilege of having a group interview with other Australians, and that was a most wonderful experience as well. But when it comes to being guided by him, I just know, I can feel his presence around me. And I know that if I, one of the things that's been important for me, particularly in times of conflict or difficulty that, you know, in a leadership role in the organization, what I find important is that if I act dharmically, I offer the experience, the decision to him, and then leave the outcome to him, then it works. And that's been the thing I've learned most through, you know, the leadership positions, the importance of dharmic action, not being attached to an outcome and just really leaving it to him and accepting whatever comes of that experience. That's been a big learning for me.
In the book that you read, The Holy Man and the Psychiatrist, what about that book or what particular like moment in that book made you realize like, wow, this is my spiritual guru. I want to see him. I want to be with him.
Well, Samuel Sandwice was the author of that book. And what I really valued was, apart from him talking about personal experiences and how Sai impacted on him personally, he also included a lot of the teachings. And the thing that I had been involved in the Christian church for many years in my younger, and I never felt comfortable with the notion that a lot of Christians believe, which is Christ is the only way. And I actually left the church because I felt uncomfortable. So what struck me was Swami's teaching that divinity is everywhere, that all religions lead to God, and that, you know, that was the thing that I just knew that was the truth. I felt totally comfortable and convinced. So it was that came through that particular book to me. And that's why I felt this is the teacher I want to follow in terms of his teaching.
So I would imagine attending these national conferences and world conferences and seeing people from all walks of life, all different ethnicities, all different religions coming together, you must have felt that overwhelming feeling of oneness and feeling of inclusivity and like just awe at the power of Swami's message and drawing all those people together. But I wasn't there personally, but you were. Could you tell us a little bit more about what those first day, second day, third days were like, how you connected to people who are completely different from you through Swami's messages?
Well, that's exactly what struck me when I started going to these bigger gatherings, that there were people from all countries, all other faiths that were there. And it was a complete, confirmation of what I'd read in his teachings. It was just wonderful. So I think, you know, and particularly with some of the celebrations in Puttaparthi, you know, going to Christmas celebrations and different. It was just so amazing to be with people from all faiths, all there united in the celebration of the birth of Christ, for example. I think it's so uplifting. And that's exactly what I get when I go to conferences in world conferences, if you like. I never went to a world conference when Swami was in his form. So the first world conference I went to was in 2015. Which was at Puttaparthi. And then there was a Go Green conference in 2018. They were wonderful speakers. We get the opportunity to meet in person the leadership in our organisation from different countries, and it really is a wonderful opportunity. So that's one thing. And I must say that I've been totally inspired by some of the young adult speak at these world. So the one who stood out for me in 2015 was Raksha Matani from Spain. Amazing work she was doing in education in human values. And then Shruti Vijayakumar from New Zealand, who spoke at the Go Green conference in the Cycle One Hall. I thought she was the best speaker at the conference. So, you know, there is wonderful talent amongst the young adults, all of whom, you know, great inspiration for me personally. It's fantastic.
The first world conference of the Sri Sathya Sai International Organization held outside India took place in Rome on October 30th and 31st, 1983. The choice of Rome was deeply symbolic, a city of immense historical significance, the heart of the Christian faith, and once the capital of the great Roman Empire. It was Bhagawan Sri Sathya Sai Baba himself who selected the theme for the conference as Unity is Divinity, Purity is Enlightenment. Regarding the venue, Baba lovingly told Mr. Antonio Craxi, who led the organizing committee from Italy, hold it in Rome. All roads lead to Rome. The conference saw the participation of over 1,200 delegates from Italy and 800 delegates from 34 other countries, including Argentina, Chile, Australia, and New Zealand. In addition, around 3,000 interested visitors from across Italy attended the event as observers. In a special message sent personally for the occasion, Swami said, "This conference is not concerned with any one religion, nation, race, caste, or individual. It is intended to reveal the essential truth that underlies all scriptures and to strive for the peace and welfare of all people through the establishment of truth and right. The whole of mankind belongs to one religion, the religion of man. For all men, God is the Father. As the children of one God, all men are brothers. This conference is therefore a family gathering. It is not a meeting of nationalities and religions. It is a meeting of minds. It does not relate to any one culture or philosophy. It is concerned with the divine way of life that is implicit in the teachings of all religions. Its purpose is to see unity in divinity.
Speaking of young adults, what advice would you have for us? Because I'm one of the young adults. So what advice would you have for us in terms of how to keep Swami at the center of our lives during this very like busy, completely changing everyday kind of life that we have in this kind of time period?
Well, look, I think young adults probably can give me a lot of advice. But what I find is that even it's important to me to start the day off with connecting with Swami. So I listen to the English Suprabhatam every day in the morning and look out over my, the valley where I live. And so that's my start to the day. So whatever we have that connects us with him at the beginning of our day and like dedicate. And I think the other thing is to be grateful. It's a huge blessing to have Swami in our life and to have him as our Sadguru. So I think to be totally to feel that gratitude all the time, I think makes a big difference. And gratitude keeps us very positive too. Life can feel quite overwhelming if we think, you know, we get focused on some of the difficulties that are going on. But I feel that gratitude has helped me stay connected with him as my Lord. For me, he's Lord Sai, and that's how I see.
What would you say, since you've been given the opportunity to be a speaker for some of the Ladies' Day programs, what would you say would be the difference between a Ladies' Day kind of get-together versus a national conference or a world conference that focus on the ladies and the women in Sai Center? How is that experience different from a regular world conference?
Look, Ladies' Day was initiated by Swami for an important reason, and we'll find all about it at the Ladies' Day celebration. He wanted the ladies to conduct the whole occasion. So the ladies are the ones who lead the bhajans, give any talks. So the focus is from, although it's for everyone, it's very inclusive. It's an opportunity for us to focus on the beautiful quality Swami endowed ladies with, and that's what will come across in over the day. So we've got speakers, and the plan is to have some interactive workshops so that people get the chance to meet each other, have a bit of fun together and enjoy each other's company and to listen. And we've got some entertainment, some uplifting singers that will be there with us. So but the day is really conducted by the women for everybody. That's what Swami wanted in showcasing the qualities of women.
Another thing I wanted to ask is, when you attend a conference, you're often very energized, very motivated to do it. But as all conferences do, they eventually come to an end and we have to all go home. So how did you deal with the aftermath of having to like return to your daily life? Or were you able to keep that spiritual energy going throughout the next couple months, hopefully next years as well?
I think it's a good point, Kirtana, because yes, we can, you know, we can get really elevated and feel quite high with being together. One little tip that I think is helpful is plan ahead and organize a special little satsang kind of treat for yourself after you return home, so that you can have, you know, this other opportunity for connection. So it's not just going from one extreme to daily life,
yeah,
if you like. So if you plan and have another little connection, whether it's with young adults or, you know, someone in your environment, I think it can help, because then it's a way of reconnecting with that wonderful uplifting energy that we experience when we're all together. That's been my tip.
Did you have one of those at Australia? Like after the World Conference, did you all organize a get together afterwards? How did that go?
We did that after the Perth to Prashanti pilgrimage, because that was something that everyone was on a real high after coming back from that. We all got together after we got home. So that was, and I think that was an important opportunity that we all valued, that being able to be with each other again, but in our own environment at home. It was wonderful.
It was just like a regular meet and greet. It wasn't like any particular, like, okay, this is a study circle or this is a bhajan session. It was just a regular, like, open space for everyone to just meet.
Yeah, just to share our experiences and to reconnect. Because in the sadhana, we went through quite a few months of studying the Bhagavad Gita before we went on that pilgrimage. So we did everything we could to be prepared. But then coming back, it was an opportunity to just reconnect with all of that and you know, share our just how we felt at that time. That was important.
What would you say from your personal experience has been the easiest part or part of Swami's teachings to practice, and which has been the hardest? And please give us any tips that you might have in your years of experience attempting to follow Swami's path for any of us to follow.
Oh, gosh. Okay. I live in nature. So I find that through just being in my surroundings, every window I look out of is different and it's all nature. So I find that is a beautiful way to, because he is all of that. He is nature. So that's the easiest part for me. And I find I can connect with him beautifully in that way. I think the most difficult thing is in our particularly in our personal relationships, being able to, you know, people press our buttons. You mentioned when we were chatting earlier about some of the satsangs you have and focusing on things like anger and, you know, and some of these different emotions. I think if we can see every connection we make with another person as an opportunity to learn about ourselves, and to come away from that thinking, what have I learnt about myself in this difficult situation? What does my anger tell me about me rather than the other person? I think that's how we can keep growing and keep connecting closer to Swami in the process, because that's what he teaches. You know, every finger that's pointing out, there's three fingers pointing back. So simple things like that, I think, can make a difference. And then we don't get so caught up in some of those difficult interactions with people, whether it's at work or with our family or whoever it might be. Some of my biggest challenges are with the people in my immediate life, and we have to watch our thoughts. Scary thing is, Swami says they go on forever. That's a bit awful. So I pull myself up when I find myself thinking about someone in a negative way. I think, oh, I'm sorry, Swami, that's you that I thought that. So I remind myself that divinity in me is in that person. Quite compelling when we live in that reality.
Very true. You gave wonderful advice for us young adults. I am curious to hear what your advice would be to a kindergartner or a first grader going to school about what they should take back from Swami's teachings, the universal nature of it, what you would tell them to focus on while they are watching this podcast.
Wow, I didn't think we'd have little ones watching this podcast.
Yeah, the YAs are the ones who have little ones, so I'm sure they will be watching too.
No, that's true. You're right there. Look, I think one of the things Swami said in the interview I had with the other Australians, he said, God is confidence. Now, everything starts, you know. So I think the best thing we can do for our children is to help them develop that confidence to be able to, and, you know, to be able, they need that connection with us as adults. But I think for them to discover their own divinity and the source of wisdom within themselves, they need to be able to experience that confidence that will take them through life. That, I think that's important.
Thank you so much for sharing all your thoughts with us.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.